Amen. All right, let's turn in Deuteronomy this morning. The 16th chapter. And I want to begin reading here. We'll start probably about the 13th verse. We'll start there. And we're dealing with this subject on the Feast of the Tabernacles. And you that have got the other messages, you know why, how the Lord led and brought us into this series of teaching. And that's one of the last of the feast days. And also, this feast day goes on into the millennia. You find that in Zechariah, the 14th chapter, where that if they don't come up year by year and worship the Lord of hosts, they don't get no rain on the crops. And I'll tell you, I believe that's the reason a lot of people ain't getting no rain on the crop now. They ain't coming up worshiping the Lord of hosts. And if you don't get no rain on your crop, you ain't going to have no fruit.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Amen. But that's just a spiritual type. But there would be a literal coming to Jerusalem. Amen. That's what they did for 7 days. Then on the first day of the Feast of the Tabernacle, we're not going to deal with that. Just to give you this little thing before we start a message. There was a Sabbath, or holy convocation. And then on the eighth day, that was a holy convocation, which is getting us beyond the church ages. Before the church age started there, at the early beginning, even at the early beginning of the church age, the power of God's there. They were led by the Spirit of God, and they moved as God led. But then the church fell away and went into seven church ages. And in the seven church ages, that's where the seven came into play. Remember, Paul said, I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my office. And Paul never mentioned seven church ages. Paul never mentioned seven angels or seven seals or any of these sevens. That has to do with the mystery age, a mystery of the kingdom of heaven, and the parables and all. And John brought it out in the book of Revelation, but even the first chapter of the book of Revelation, when he started talking about the mystery, he saw seven candlesticks and seven stars, and he said, I'll tell thee the mystery, you know, or the mystery of these is this. And then he went right straight into the church ages, and then came through the seals and them seven. He said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God will be finished. All those sevens are cleared up. Amen. The seven angels, seven church ages, seven seals, seven thunder, seven, all those are behind us. And he ends in verse 7 of Revelation chapter 10. Then we go into verse 8. It's a new day, the eighth day. Amen. God gives back the little book, which is the same teaching. It's the second hand of what Paul taught. Amen. But here I want to continue on this today, and we'll just see how it works out, and the Lord's willing, if this tape turned out good. Last night we had a big hum, so I don't know, I didn't do something right again. Amen. But we only begin reading here, and this will be the fourth part of the Feast of Tabernacles, and we'll just take it here. We've got three parts at the Church of Dawsonville. And the Lord has really blessed and moved in a mighty way. So we're in Deuteronomy here, and you can get this dozens of places. Just almost get the word, get your concordant, look up Feast of Tabernacles, and you can get it from many places. But here's one I want to read from Deuteronomy 16:13. It says, Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. After, now this is what I want you to watch real quick, careful. Here's something I want you to know. He says, after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. Now corn here is not corn like we see growing out here in America. See, the Indian introduced it. The corn is the corn of wheat. That's why some places it'll say corn of wheat. And any commentary, anything, let you know it was a wheat corn. It wasn't the corn as we know it. Amen. But after that, gathering the corn and wine. Amen. Now the wine, the grapes had to be gathered in, and they had to be squished out, and they had did that by walking on them. And they had a big vat built up, and the wine, the grape juice ran off, and they fermented it and made wine. Wine in the Old Testament was a drink, and still is in a lot of Israel that day. They have, in their doings and their getting together, they'll have the kosher wine and so on. That's one drink God gave them. And that was the only way to preserve grapes. You either made wine out of the vineyard or something, but it was a drink. But I want you to notice here, the Feast of the Tabernacles were after harvest. See, that's what I want you to know, after harvest. Amen. And everything was gathered in, and then it was time, and then watch what it says, verse 14. Thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou, thy sons, thy daughters, and thy manservants and maidenservants, and the Levites, the strangers, and the fatherless, and widows that are within thy gates. That is a big celebration after the harvest is over. Amen. Like after the church age, a big celebration. Amen. Praise God. The labors are over. The labors of the seven church ages are over. That's finished. That's all behind us. Amen. We're at the time of the gathering in of the grain. Amen. Now, before the grain harvest here, it had to go through the threshing floor. But let me get the verse 15 here also. 7 days thou shalt keep a feast. Keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increases and in all the works of thine hand, therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. Amen. You'll notice in the Feast of God, this is a commandment to rejoice. How many of you ever noticed that? A lot of people lay so long faith, I don't know, I don't get it. But, you know, I guess a lot of people just naturally, I've met people that's naturally negative on everything. Amen. And their negative thoughts, negative way of doing things, and to rejoice, it would almost be a sin to them. But for the saints of God not to rejoice, it's a sin. Amen. He wants you to be happy, be jolly. Now, when the children of Israel in Ezra chapter 3, or Ezra, they returned to the land, they could hear them rejoicing afar off. But they were weeping sometime. They were praising God, and they were shouting. It's not all weeping, but it's not all weeping, part rejoicing. Amen. That's what God does. But the main thing I wanted you to notice here in Deuteronomy was the fact that the Feast of the Tabernacles took place after the corn was gathered in, after the wine. Now, prior to gathering the corn in, amen, they had to go through the threshing floor. See? Now, the threshing floor, that's what we've been going through, amen, for a good while now. Amen. But I want to read something here in the book of Samuel, and it's in the book of Samuel, the 24th chapter. Samuel 24, and I want to start verse 18. And I'm kind of typing this out here, and I'm getting over to working towards the New Testament here. I'm kind of typing this out to get a picture for our day. It would be 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, the 24, and starting verse 18. And here's what I want you to notice here, and we'll just, so that while you're turning, I'll be telling you what this year. David, he bought the threshing floor from a certain one of his subjects here, because he wanted to do a sacrifice unto the Lord. Amen. And when he bought the threshing floor, well, let me read it from the Word, because I think we're all there now. It says, and Gad came that day to David and said unto him, Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of, I can't pronounce this name, the Jebusite. And then in verse 19, And David, according to the saying of Gad, and Gad was a prophet now, went up as the Lord commanded, and that name I can't looked and saw the king and his servant coming towards him, and went out and bowed himself before the king on the face of the ground, and said, Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servants? In other words, you want to know that was unusual, a king coming to an individual here. And David said, To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And he said unto David, Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold here, the oxen for burnt sacrifice and the thrashing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. Now I want you to notice this, and I may not read any more down. I was going to read a little more, but I think I'm going to get the point here. Amen. He got the thrashing floor. He says, Here's the oxen. And he says, You can have the thrashing instruments for wood. See? Amen. And I want to say, I said that to say this. Amen. There come a time when the thrashing is over. That's when the harvest is gathering. There's no more thrashing. But there has to be a thrashing to get the chaff off the wheat, see? And that's the only way to do it. And there are several ways they did it. Amen. But David went and bought this thrashing floor to do offer an offering to the Lord, to build an altar to the Lord, and to worship God. And he said, Take these thrashing instruments for wood, see? Amen. All right. Now, thrashing instrument, they had many different instruments. They thrashed the wheat in order to get it turned loose from the stalk, and also get the shuck off of it, and also get the pollen away. Nowadays, they got modern equipment. One big combine, I think, do the whole process. But back in those days, it went through a process. They had to get it, but they had to beat it out. And these different ones and different times, they'd have a sled, they'd have a horse pull it around, and that's where it says there, don't muzzle the ox that that does the wheat, you know. In other words, don't put a muzzle on them, let him stop and get him a bite of it every once in a while. Amen. And that typed out the ministry. Paul used that to type out the ministry, didn't he? Amen. Don't muzzle the ox, let him supply the need, and let him preach that word, and let him do this. Amen. And so that's what the God told him, don't muzzle the ox. Amen. Now I want to go over here, continuing this thought just a little bit, to the book of Isaiah, the 28th chapter. And it's just going to be a few scriptures here. We'll go ahead and go to the New Testament. But I want to get a few things here to let you know we're in a new day. How many knows we're not in the day of the thrashing floor?
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. That's definitely over with. Amen. That came, Brother David, before they brought it into the barn, brought it into harvest, before the Feast of the Tabernacles. The harvest was over and the wine was gathered. We need the bread and wine, don't we? Amen. And you can't get the bread and wine as long as the thrashing is going on. Hallelujah. Amen. You're in the survival message. You're eating manna. See, they ate manna in the church ages. Amen. It's just like the children of Israel coming through the wilderness. They ate manna all the way through, and manna would only last one day, see. And at the end of that day, if you tried to save it, it would breed worms. And when it breeds worms, you know, you can't plant manna like you do a seed. If you plant manna, all you get is worms, see? And that's about all a lot of people got, a wormy message. They're trying to preach to perfect the bride. They're trying to give them manna. Amen, but we're back to the original again. When the children of Israel crossed over Jordan, they ate the old corn of the land. Praise God. Amen. And the Bible says the manna ceased to fall. So we've come to a new day. We're definitely out of the church ages. There has been a time and a period we came through, which is definitely over. Brother Brown preached a message, Future Home of the Earthly Bride and the Heavenly Bridegroom. I believe it was in 65, 63 or 65, long in that time period. And he talked about the 8th day, the holy convocation of 8th day. And he says, when the church age is over, we got no more 3s and no more 7. He said, which it is. Amen. So we've come through those time periods, and then there was to be a little season of silence for a half hour before the Jubilee starts.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. So it's been the time of getting us ready. All right, I'm going to read now in the 28th chapter of Isaiah, and he's talking here, still talking about thrashing floor, wheat, and all that. And I'll start with verse, let's start with verse 25, I believe. We'll start there. They'll say time here. It says, when he has made plain the face thereof, does he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cummins and cast in the principal wheat and appointed barley and rice in their places? Now here are these fitches. Now you might not want to know what fitches is. It's something to go on bread in the Middle East there. It's something, it's like a spice. Nowadays you get bread like a bun at some of the fast foods. You got these seeds on them and stuff. And it was a kind of spice to bread up. Now this is something important I want you to notice, because here's why: there has to be something to spice this up, see.
Amen.
We just don't come to the house of God to hear the word of God. We want some singing. We want some worship. We want some testifying.
Amen.
Amen. We don't want to eat bread. Now, I've eaten bread many times. We lived way back in the mountain when I was growing up, and sometimes Mama would get out of salt and soda. And to make cornbread without salt and soda, it doesn't taste good. Have you ever eaten, David? No, you never. Well, I tell you, I thought you have you, Wilbur? Lots of times, it don't taste as good, does it? I mean, it's you can eat it, and it's probably got all the vitamins and stuff in it. But I tell you, it just don't taste good. The flavor's not there. Well, that's what these fitches are for, see. Amen. It don't add to the overall quality of the wheat or the bread, but it makes it taste better.
Amen.
I like to come to the house of God when I leave feeling good and had a good time and heard some good singing and heard some good testimonies and had the Spirit of God move, not just reading the Word, see.
Yeah.
Amen. So these fitches here, it's something now, if you want to look that up, it's easy to look up in a commentary or dictionary of the Bible, you know. And then they had another thing here, had coming. C-U-M-M-I-N. This is another spice here, like salt and soda in bread, see? And I'm not saying that it is salt and soda, but I'm just giving you an illustration. Amen. Now, if you haven't tried it, it may be something you might want to do. Just cook you a little pan of cornbread. Don't put no salt or soda in it. We used to go to the mill and get it where it came right off the big rock that grind that stone ground and get it right there and cook it and put nothing in. And I'll tell you what, you're probably not going to eat it. You got to know how to put it together. How many knows it? You got to know how to fix it and put it together. Now, this year, fitches and cumming, see, that's the stuff there that makes it taste good. Now, I'll eat these little round things like donuts. What you call them? Bagels, you know, they taste good. You know, put a little Philadelphia cheese spread on or something, they taste good. And I like that. Amen. But, you know, without the good taste they make them, they would still have the same vitamin contents. And they would still be, but I like the good taste.
Amen.
How many knows it?
Yeah.
Not only do I like the good taste, I like the way things look, see? Amen. Well, that's what this Fitches is all about, and cunning is all about. When they gather the wheat, and they also sowed these here too, and it all went together. That's why they could rejoice. That's why they could praise the Lord. And not only they had the good bread and stuff, they had new wine to drink. Amen. When they came to the feast, and that gave stimulation, and they rejoiced in the Lord, and they just had a good time because the thrashing days was over.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
Ooh, can you get the revelation on that now? The thrashing days were over. Praise God. Amen. Now, some of you, most of the time you buy this meal and stuff with everything already in it. You can't get plain. But maybe y'all try it sometime. Get some plain. Don't put nothing in it but water. And I'll guarantee you, nobody ain't going to run over you trying to get to it and knock you out of the way to get to it, see? Amen. But then you take it again, it's the same. You can take and read that word. It's just as rich. It's just as good. But when the anointing comes, it makes a difference, doesn't it? Jesus preached the word of God. When they brought in the book, he read the scriptures about the anointing of God upon me. He said, this day the scriptures fulfilled. And on that last day of the feast, and it called Feast of Tabernacles in St. John, 7th chapter, on the last day of the feast, he stood up and cried with a loud voice. And he said, he that believeth upon me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. That's what this thing's all about. Glory to God. We've come to the harvest. We've come to the feast. Amen. We've come to the time where we enjoy these good things of God. Praise God. And did you know when the gathering, thrashing's being done, it had to be done with wisdom. Now, we've got a movement today, and I'm not throwing stones at them, because they probably are doing the best they knew in their day and time, but their day's over with. Amen. A movement that they have certain thrashing floor sessions. And they have a lot of ministers come on the platform. And they have certain sessions they call thrashing floor sessions. And Brother Matheny, that was then, he said he was in one just sometime back. And he said, I believe he said about 3 or 4 hours. And they were thrashing out whether there's a devil or not. See? You know, because some says the flesh is the devil, and some place there is a literal devil of the movement. That's the gospel assembly that I'm speaking about here. And they have their thrashing floor, but that day's over with. The thrashing floor days are over with.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. And then I went to the preacher's meeting that they used to have and they probably still have it. I'm not in the circle now. But Brother Brannan's movement, they get their quotes, and they bring the quotes. And one preacher stood up and he said, if you give me 50 quotes for what you believe, I'll give you 51 for what I believe to show you I'm right. And it's just a thrashing. That's not what God's doing. The thrashing floor days are over. Hallelujah. Amen. We've come to the harvest, the end gathering. Glory to God. Amen. I want some Fitches on my bread, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. I want some, how do you pronounce that? C-U-M-M-I-N. Cumin, okay, it's a thing in the Middle East there. It makes that bread taste good. Over there, they got some of the best bread in the world, you know. They take these things and spices and all, and you can eat just bread. Amen. I know when we were in the, and even over in Zambia, there in Lusaka, Barbara, she'd get some bread, way they'd fix it. And they'll fix it, some of it look like a turtle, and I mean, they specialize in fixing it. It not only look good, it tastes good. Amen. All right, I've got to hurry along with this, but let's go on to another verse here. And then the next verse says, verse 26, it says, "For his God does instruct him to discretion and does teach him." Now see, that's he talking about the gathering and the thrashing and all. It takes the instruction of God, doesn't it? Amen. And then watch here, it says, "For the fitches are not thrashed with a thrashing instrument." See, you got to use different things, different techniques, you know. Everybody don't have the same mentality, or some people more sentimental than others. And you know, you got to handle, you're handling God's people when you're preaching God's Word. How many knows it? Hey, man, you don't take a big old rough instrument and start beating. If you do, you'll learn certain things. How many knows that? Praise God. But it says the Lord God will give him instruction and discretion. All right. "Neither is a cartwheel turned about upon the coming." Now, that's the way they did to get the wheat out, see. But it's coming. You can't run over it with a cartwheel. You got to do it different. This is a tender spice. Hey, man, it makes that bread taste good, and you got to treat it good.
Amen.
Glory to God. I tell you, some people got the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Singing. You know, I've heard this, and I saw it many times. Somebody sang a song or something special. Well, it was pretty good, but you was a little out of tune here, or you got a little loud or a little low, or you did this. Well, talk like that just ruined that sermon. Because people get feeling like, well, I ain't going to even try, see. Come on, how many know that? Praise God, we got to back up each other, amen each other, and pull for one another.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. When one's testifying, we want to pull for them. When one is singing, we want to pull for them. We don't treat that, how do you pronounce that again, Martha? Coming? Cumin, you got cumin, you got to treat that good, because you can't do it like the wheat. It takes a different thing, you know. Amen. You might talk about the old preacher and get by with it, because he's pretty tough skin anyway. He has to be kind. But that young one coming up singing, amen, friend, that cumin. And if I'm saying that wrong, but what it is, it's a spice, you know. Amen. It's a spice to make the bread taste good.
Amen.
Amen. And it says you can't do it with a thrashing instrument that you do with wheat. Amen. How many knows it? Glory to God. If you got somebody start singing, encourage them. If you got somebody start playing the instruments, encourage them. Amen. Like when David gives you, I try my best to amen him and encourage him and amen and pull for him. Give him a thumbs up, see. Amen. You might have heard better, but hey, we ain't worried about what we heard better. Amen. This is our coming feel. See, amen. We're not out there on TV watching how they do it on TBN, or hear Carmen sing, or what's this guy that plays the piano with that big diamond on? What's his name? You see him on the TBN sometimes. We're not trying to have that kind of piano player. Amen. We want the nice cumin that God gives us in among us, in our field.
Yeah,
amen. Is that right? Praise God, remembering that Feast of Tabernacles. Everybody, that when they got together then, they had their own booth. But when they went up to worship, they went up as one man.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. How many sees this fitches and this cumin? Amen. You got to have it in service. If you ain't, you're eating bread without any salt or soda, and it don't taste good.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
That's why you need to start using that little, them fitches and that cumin that God gave you.
Yeah. the Lord.
Hallelujah. Is that right?
Yeah,
amen. Compliment this ministry. Compliment the Word. Compliment Christ. You're at a feast. And He said, rejoice in the Lord and praise Him. Amen. Glory to God. Woo-wee. Amen. Ain't you glad God's got some good bread and some good fishes on it and some good... That word fishes don't sound good, but it sure tastes good according to what the book says. All right. But no, gather them together in barn. They're having the revival being gathered. He says, but gather the wheat in my barn. Now, when the wheat's gathered in the barn, they've been through the threshing floor.
Amen.
Yeah. They've been through all the cleaning process. And we've been through the threshing floor for the last 20 or 30 years. Amen. Now we've gathered into the barn. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to reread, if you don't mind, something that I read the other night. In Acts chapter 15, to show you that even in Bible days, that there was times when they had to get together to work this thing out, see. Oh, brother and sister, ain't this good? I'll tell you, to me it's good. Well, the Feast of the Tabernacle took place after the harvest, after it went through the process, after it was gathered, Acts 15, after everything was gathered, and after the wine was brought, they couldn't have a party without having some wine. Amen. And they couldn't eat good bread without having some fitches and some coming on them.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. But He said, eat and rejoice before the Lord your God. Amen. And He said, I say, Paul say, I say unto you to rejoice.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Paul came into a message, and if you will read and get the little book we've got here, how God continued His message to the Jew and to the Gentiles after His death. It shows in there that Paul was absolutely in the place of Christ. And he spoke words and nobody could challenge what he said. Romans, the 15th chapter, he says there that Jesus was the minister of God to the circumcision, but Paul was the minister of God to the uncircumcision. He said, I laid the foundation as a wise master builder. So I'm not worried, is the foundation right? Amen. It's right, because a wise master builder laid, and he said no other foundation can be laid. So if anybody preach anything different than what St. Paul preached, amen, for the perfecting of the bride, show it to me in the foundation.
Thank you, Lord.
A lot of people go into church and try to get these sevens and work them up and bring them in. Amen, honey, that's in the kingdom of heaven, eh? Show me where it's at in the foundation or keep quiet. Amen. Amen. Paul said, if an angel say different than what I say, let him be accursed.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Amen. Now I'm going to show you the threshing floor here, just a little bit here. The 15th chapter. Paul went forth preaching the gospel. Here come these people challenging him. And Paul, he weren't advancing his calling to the point where he could take the stand. Now, over in Lusaka, in Zambia, I was over there in Holiday Inn. That's a town about 850,000. I was walking down through the hallway there, and a voice said, you got to shake the dust off your feet. Just as clear and plain as it could be. Amen. Not the dust from Zambia, but the dust from the movement. I tell you, if you try to bring this movement on, you can't get through the door. You see, there is the gate. Straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and you can't get through with a movement hanging on. You can't get through with all them threshing instruments. Amen. David, the man said, take my threshing instruments and burn them. Amen. I'll tell you, it's time to burn the threshing instrument.
Thank you.
And build an altar unto God, see. Amen. Glory to God. It's because the harvest is gathered in. He said, I'm not going to be needing these threshing instruments anymore. You're going to do a sacrifice unto God. Just burn these threshing instruments. Amen. There's a lot of threshing instruments that need to be burned. Amen. One of the threshing instruments that need to be burned, get 15 ministers sitting up behind you, then they got a right to challenge everything you say. And they can't accept it until it goes through the thrashing floor. The thrashing floor is over. We're burning thrashing instruments. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I don't even go to the preacher's meeting on Brother Brown's because they want to know what this quote means, what that quote. I don't know, but I know what Paul said.
Hallelujah.
Amen. They said, well, he said, get together and we'll work it out and thrash it out and so on. Amen. I ain't worried about thrashing instrument. I tell you what, the movement that follows Brother Souders made such a mess of the thrashing instruments. If they don't burn them thrashing instruments, they're going to go down the tube. Amen. Amen. Is that right? Come on, folks. They're going to go down. We don't need to thrash out one word Paul said.
Thank you, Lord.
Now listen. Paul said this, and it's not wrote nowhere in the Bible. They asked him about those that died and gone on to be with the Lord. Because Jesus said, he that believeth upon me and lives shall never die. But see, Paul knew what he was talking about. If you believe in him and you're alive, you can't die. You can pass into your tabernacle that's reserved in heaven, but you can't die.
Yeah.
Amen. Paul said, I tell you how it's going to be. Okay, you folks back there, 15 of you waiting to challenge this. Listen to him. Amen. You on the thrash, got me on the thrashing floor. Well, honey, I got news for you. The thrashing floor is over with. The thrashing floor instrument's been burned. The Holy Ghost has burned them. And now he's gathered in the wheat and bread and the fitches and the coming. And we're eating. We're feasting on the. We're feasting at the tabernacle of the Lord. Because that tabernacle, feast of tabernacle, means an ingathering.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. There's an ingathering of God's people. And they go for the Word. But what I was going to say, Paul said, this is the way it's going to be now. Listen, you folks. I'm talking about these I'm behind the pulpit. And I've preached for them many, many times. And I just go ahead and preach the gospel like they think I ain't got no sense. They think I don't know that they're waiting to challenge me. Amen on what I say. Well, that's all right. God will make a way, won't he? Well, I was in the great city. Well, let me say this first before I say that. Paul said, this is the way it's going to be. He said, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then he said, we which are alive and remain till the coming of the Lord, we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, caught up to meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
You preachers on the thrashing floor now, thrash that one now. Paul couldn't show them nowhere where the Scripture said we're going to be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. It was Jesus Christ speaking through that vessel.
Yeah.
The thrashing floor is over when you get back in Paul's message. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Over in the Philippines, there are about 100 preachers. The preacher wanted to have a meeting with me. That a preacher from that American that came over. Amen. We had to fill up the biggest building we could get there. Amen. That's not boasting. That's just what God done say. But about 100 of them, about 15 of them was trying to prove that you've got two souls. Sat back there with their notebooks and the quotes and the book satchel full of spoken words and everything he just said. A couple of brothers sat with me to interpret for me. Those that couldn't do American language, couldn't do English. Amen. There we was 4 hours, 5, went and eat a bite and come back in there. Amen. About 8 hours when everybody walked out. I had a brother pat me on the shoulder. His name Reverend George Zimmer. Pat me on the shoulder. Said, Brother Ben, I heard what Brother Brown said in Chicago, how all them ministers come. He said, but I never saw it work. He said, Brother, I saw God come down and shut the mouth of every gainsayer. Amen. Not when they walked out, about 100 preachers said, will you come to my church? Will you come to my church? The one that was trying to prove no soul that we had two souls, he said his doctrine was this, that God gives us a new spirit, you know. And Brother Brown, he made a statement on one tape, that old soul, that old nature got to die out. And then they took another tape where he said, the soul is the nature of the spirit. He said, that old nature got to die, so that old soul died, and God give you a brand new soul. Amen. I said, well, brother, if we'll just, let's just take the one book and don't pull from the other books. And I don't know what all I said. I hope the guy's on tape. I didn't get it. I wish we'd have video didn't put it on tape and let you see it. But sometimes God don't want that done, does he? Amen. He came, you know what he did when I got to explaining that? He stood up, him and 15 other preachers that was with him, going to chew me up and spit me out, you know. When I got through, he said this. He says, no problem. And he sat down, not one of his people. And we got out there, and everybody there went out. It was joy among them because they saw the hand of God come and move. I tell you, this threshing floor is over with, folks. God's moving and God is speaking. Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. When Paul came into his message, you read the 13th chapter and the 18th chapter, the book of Acts, 13th chapter. Amen. He turned from the Jews and went to the Gentiles. Over there shook the dust off his feet. In the 18th chapter there of Acts over in there. Amen. And he went forth with a message from God. And the thrashing floor was over. He said, these things you hear me say, you say the same thing. He said, I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my own. And Peter even accepted it. In 18 years after this, he went to Antioch. That was Peter. And they were having a conference. Galatians chapter 2. Paul said, when we came, said they added nothing to me but contrary wise. When they saw that the gospel of the circumcision committed unto me like the gospel of the gospel of the uncircumcision committed unto me like the gospel of the circumcised people, they gave me the right hand of fellowship. Amen. And said that me and Barnabas should go to the heathen. Amen. And they would go to the circumcision. Amen. And then the last chapter of the book of Peter. I love that chapter. Amen. Because Peter, he is telling what Paul wrote. Said, our beloved brother Paul, he wrote. Said he wrote things hard to be understood. Said some people read scripture. Said they it's just hard for them to get straight. Amen. But said they rest in scripture as they do to their own destruction. But he called Paul's writing the scripture and he called Paul beloved brother Paul.
Yeah.
But he said, it's laid up for me now, crown of life. Lord showed me I got to put this tabernacle off now. Just before he went to be with the Lord, he said, hey, wait a minute, folks. What Paul said, scripture. What Paul said, right. Beloved Paul, amen. Brother and sister, I'm telling you, your eyes are going to see some things in this last day that's going to, if you ain't ready for a spiritual thing, amen, it's going to leave your head spinning. Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. Watch this Bible thrashing floor. See? They had these to start with, but not after Paul came into his message. After Paul went to the Gentile, quit fooling around with the Jews, and they understood every place. Oh, there's some more scripture too on this threshing floor, but let me get it. It says, and a certain man which came down from Judah taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you can't be saved. You cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation, arguing and fussing and arguing and disputing with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other men should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and elders. And they declared all things what God's done with them. But there arose certain of the sects of the Pharisees. Well, I'm going to ask you this. Why were they still called Pharisees if they were converted? Some people still call themselves Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of God, and all that. Amen. We're Christian. We're the bride.
Amen.
Amen. You fool with them people, all you're going to do is get arguing. You're still on the old threshing floor. Burn those threshing floor instruments.
Thank you, Lord.
All right, listen. Certain of them. They were saying, but verse 5, but there arose certain of the sects of the Pharisees which believed, saying, now notice they believe. You can believe and still be crazy. You got to have a minister. You got to have a ministry. The fivefold ministry is given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the Spirit, unto the stature of the fullness of the man Christ Jesus. See, they were Pharisees, believers, and notice what they're saying, that it was needful to circumcise them and commanded them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders, you big bunch of fat preachers sitting there in the thrashing floor. Amen. I'm showing you what took place now. This is a thrashing floor here. Amen. Notice, they came together to consider man. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and he began to give his theory on it. Nothing give this theory. And then they finally wrote a thing for the Gentiles, that the Gentiles didn't have to do certain things, but notice they never did make the same rules for themselves. Amen. They never did. Let's see, what time is it? Oh boy, we're just chugging along here, ain't we? But I want you to know, after much disputing. Now see, in Paul's churches and his service, there was no disputing. When he came into his message, the thrashing floor era was over.
Amen.
And unless it's over for you, I predict you're in serious trouble unless you run real hard and find a place where they ain't fussing and arguing, is this right or that right? The thrashing floor days are over. There's been apostolic ministry set back in the earth. Just like in Paul's day. Amen. God has given a message to hold us straight, to guide us through these troubled waters. Amen. It's going into all nations of the world. Amen. He said, come without money, without pride. Amen. Tens of thousands of tapes going out. We're working on 6,000 things now of tapes. Now, they're going all over the world. Amen. And what did the brother say he wrote? Said there's been a revival fire lit in Africa. Said people are coming, people are repenting, and people are getting their head on straight. And one brother that was a preacher, I preached over there, and I brought, if you saw the little video thing we couldn't get, we didn't have power. What was that there? The one who I brought in there about the mystery of God, not mysteries. And one preacher from another city, he kind of stood up and he said, the Bible has come alive. We're back in Bible days. He said, of all these years, I was always thought the Bible says he finished all the mysteries of the Bible. He said, but to come to find out, it was a mystery and it was a church age and it's over with. He said, brother, you don't know what your visit has done coming to Africa. See, brother and sister, this thing, it ain't done the corner. All of these other things and so on and so forth. And he believed we get together and we try to read and try to figure out this and try to figure out that. And again, got the combination. Bible says a lot of different men put their thoughts on it. And you probably get a better take on it. Well, honey, God ain't wanting to get 14 men to everybody give their take on it and hand it to you and tell you figure out which one's right.
Amen.
He said he gave us apostles.
Yeah.
In the days of Paul, amen, he said, if an angel come and say different, let him be cursed. He told Peter, Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 2, amen, he said, these things you've heard me say. Said, you go say the same thing. And he said, we'll see eye to eye and we'll all speak the same thing. He's made a way to do it, and right here it is before your eyes. Do you want it? Or do you want to still be on the thrashing floor? Amen. We can get a better take on which right if we get enough opinion. Now, where's that at in the Bible? Amen. Nowhere in the Bible does it say if you get more opinion, the more opinion you got, the more chance you get it right. The more opinion you got, the more confused you're going to be.
Amen.
God ain't got a whole lot of opinion. He's one. The Bible says the Lord has spoken. Amen. Says he's of one mind and says who can change it?
Yes, praise the Lord.
Read Paul. Amen. But how many? I could read more of this and go on. There's other places. Acts 21. So, but I think we've said basically enough. How many see when Paul started his ministry, they went to the thrashing floor? They went to the flesh and flow on circumcision. Went to the flesh and flow on different things. But one day God says, shake the dust off your feet. Amen. How many knows it? Then he said, if an angel say different than what I say, let him be accursed. He said, I laid the foundation. I am the apostle to the Gentiles. He didn't say, I'm one of the apostles. He said, I am the apostle. Amen. But see, amen, the Bible says give discretion, see. How many about that? See, you know how to harvest the wheat? Notice you got to know how to harvest the wheat, harvest the peaches, and harvest the cumin, and you don't use the same thing. Amen. And a preacher got to have a little of all. Ooh, I love God, don't you?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I love Him with all my heart. Amen. I appreciate each one of you. Praise God. And I believe you're the cream of the crop. I believe you've rose to the top, the cream of the crop. Amen. All right. D11. Bobby, you got a song to sing? Can you sing that and keep me in your will? Amen. Help me not get in your way or something. You remember that you used to sing? Come on, sing it for us. Amen. Let's close this message. Amen. How many love Jesus now? How many enjoy this wheat? Amen. We sprinkle some fitches on it. And we put some cumin, whatever that word is. We put some of that on to make it taste good. Amen. Not just, it's not cornbread.